Can you guys hear the guitar? A thousand times I fail, still your mercy remains. Then I stumble again, still I'm caught in your grace. Everlasting,
your life will shine when all else fails. Never ending, your glory shows beyond all fail.
My heart and my soul,
I will give you control.
Want to start over?
That's the bridge.
That's the bridge.
In my heart and my soul, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace, to love you from the inside out. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fails. Never ending, your glory goes beyond afraid.
God, my heart is to bring you
praise from the inside out, Lord, my soul cries out. Will above all else, still your mercy remains. The art of losing myself in bringing you praise. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all praise. And the cry of my heart is to bring you praise from the inside out, Lord, my soul cries out. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. And the cry of my heart is to bring you praise from the end. Side out, Lord, my soul cries out to you.
How many of you guys got hurt yesterday? Yeah? Oh, okay. How many from sunburn? Okay, how many from the tube? Okay, I've got a few of those. How many some other way? Really? How'd you get hurt? The blob. Oh, how many from the blob? Oh, that accounts for the rest almost. Okay. I know, the blob hurts. I don't do the blob anymore. This last summer at Camp Miami, they said, "You want a blob?" I said, "No, I don't want a blob." The year before, George, you know, George, the guy that works in the kitchen, he goes, "Hey, you want a blob?" I'm like, "Sure, yeah." You know, I used to blob lots. And when I worked at camp, and so I'm like, "Yeah, this is good." And so I get out in the end, he's like, "We're going to double blob you." I'm like, "Okay, just, you know, go easy." I turn around, and they got three guys up there. I'm like, "Oh, mercy. Lord, help me." Confessed all my sins on the end of the blob, and there we went. Woo, you know, I'm looking around and I'm seeing sky, water, sky, water, sky, water, smack. There's a permanent line where my life jacket ended and the red welt began. And I went all the way down, about halfway down my legs. So I don't blob anymore. I admire you who still do. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for your blessings, for bringing us here today, for bringing us to this great school where we can work together, we can have great teachers, we can worship together, we can live together, and just enjoy a community of family. Lord, it's a privilege, but most of all, we want to get to know you. Please speak through me, I pray today, that we all may gain a blessing. Teach me new things about how wonderful your ways are and how much you want to make a path for us that will prosper us and bring us a future and that we will enjoy. Amen. Linda was a woman. Okay, that was nothing special about that. Linda was a woman, and she was looking for the man of her dreams. And she went through high school, she went through college, and time was ticking, and she was wondering if she would ever find the man of her dreams. Would she ever find that man? And finally, one day it happened. One day, Linda came across Herman. Herman was a lovely guy. And it was also very convenient that she could actually make his name into her man. He was the kind of guy that would open doors for you and do all the manly type things. Pull out chairs, you know. He would always look after her, bring her pretty flowers, do all these wonderful things. And she thought, man, this is too good to be true. This has got to be the man. This is him. This is the one I've been waiting for all my life. And so, dating turned into more serious dating until finally, Herman pops the question. Will you marry me? Linda goes, oh yes, I'll marry you. Of course I'll marry you. And so they plan this magnificent wedding, and it's everything she ever wanted, and it's beautiful, and it's white, and just remember, girls, if you ever got asked a guy, what was the wedding like? He's going to say, the bride wore white, you know, and the girls are like, what were the flowers like? What were the bridesmaids wearing? You know, what did they say? You know, it was just a beautiful white wedding. That's all I'm going to say. And Linda, she was just ecstatic. There was her man coming down the she was coming down the aisle towards her man. Okay, sorry. Old general mix there. And she gets down there and she looks into his eyes and he looks into her eyes and she's, her heart is fluttering and beating out of her chest and everything is just so perfect. And she can't even remember the sermon. It's just she's looking into her man's eyes and finally they say their I do's and they march out and they go on their honeymoon. It was magnificent. I won't tell you any details. And they come back from the honeymoon and she's like, oh, you know, life is just getting better and better all the time. And she, you know, they get back, they had just come back to the house they had set, you know, that was the house they were going to live in. And, they go to bed and she's like, ah, life married to Herman. And she slept a very peaceful night, and the next morning, about 5:30 in the morning, the light flicks on. And there's Herman standing at the foot of her bed with a piece of paper. And he says, rise and shine, honey. The honeymoon's over. And she's like, what is this? And she kind of, you know, she's kind of blinking. It's 5:30 in the morning. Come on. You know, we just got married. And he's like, I got to go to work. And I made you a list. True story. And this is an example of one of her many lists. It was a list that would last for 2 weeks, and then she would get a new list. And this is how it read: 5:30 in the morning, rise and shower. 6 o'clock, begin breakfast preparations. See attached menu. 6:15, awaken Hermicuddles with a kiss and turn the shower on for him. Serve breakfast and don't forget the grapefruit juice. 7:15, begin breakfast cleanup while husband brushes teeth. 7:25, meet Hermicuddles at the door with an appropriate jacket in hand. Pay close attention to the weather. And say goodbye with a smile and a kiss. 7:30, finish breakfast cleanup. 8 o'clock, free time, 8:15. House cleaning. Cleaning supplies, list, and more details, instructions attached. Monday, clean north rooms. Tuesday, east rooms. Wednesday, south rooms. Thursday, west rooms. Friday, the garage. 11 a.m., balance the checkbook. 12 noon, have lunch, whatever you'd like, except marked items. 12:30, miscellaneous duties. Monday, car maintenance appointments and wash the car. Tuesday, dry cleaning and banking. Wednesday, shopping, see attached list. Thursday, wash windows. Friday, yard work. 3:30, dinner preparations, see attached menu. 4:30, meet husband at the door with a smile and a kiss and hang up his coat for him. 5 o'clock, serve dinner. 5:45, dinner cleanup. 6:15, free time, see list of suggestions. 6:45, draw bath for husband. 7 o'clock, next day's ironing. 7:45, hand husband towel as he exits bath. 8 o'clock, neck and back massage for the man of your dreams. 9 o'clock, lights out and pleasant dreams, sweetheart. And Linda got a new list every 2 weeks like clockwork with slight variations. This man had it made. Amen? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Man, I am saying that's a kind of... Man, I took that home and I gave that to my wife. It took about a week for the slap mark to wear off. You know, right about there. Linda lived this way for around 10 years. Till finally, for some unknown cause, Hermicuddles dies of a heart attack. or something, I don't know. And she didn't know whether to jump up and blow bubbles or whether she should cry or whatever. But she did the right thing and she went to the funeral and she, caught a few tears. And then she vowed she would never get married again. But time went on. And she spent time doing whatever she did, picked up a hobby or a new class here or something else. But after a while, life is getting a bit lonely again. And then she met Michael. Oh. Well, Michael was kind of like Herman. I mean, he was very, he would look after her. He would open doors, and she's like, "Man, this sounds a lot like Herman. I'm getting really nervous." But she, decided, there's no harm in dating. So she dates Michael, and finally one day he pops the question, "Will you marry me?" Oh, man, she really did not want another relationship like Herman. And how was she to know? But she was really lonely and, so finally she said yes. And so sure enough, they had the nice wedding and the bride wore white and they went on their honeymoon and it was a great honeymoon. And they come back from the honeymoon and the day after the honeymoon, the light flicks on. And there is Michael at the foot of her bed with a piece of paper in his hand. And Linda, while she had been in between Herman and Michael, had take karate classes, and she gets up at a karate stand, and she says, "Oh, no, you don't!" She picks up his piece of paper, and she rips it in two and throws it on the floor. And he says, "Linda, what are you doing?"
And she says, oh, don't you even try. He's like, that was a poem that I've been writing for you for the last 2 hours. And so Linda's like, oh, she felt so bad. And she gets two pieces of paper and she scotch tapes them together. And then she reads this poem that he had written that melts her heart about how much he loves her. And Michael was different. He was different from day to day. I mean, it was just like heaven compared to living with Herman. And one day, as Linda was, she was getting ready to, they were moving house, she was cleaning out her attic, and she came across a shoebox full of the lists that Herman had given her. And she opens the box, and she was just about ready to burn it, but she pulls it, and she just opened to kind of glance at the list, and she looks at the list, and all of a sudden she realizes that she did all these things for Michael. She never thought about it. She would meet him at a kiss, and he never demanded it. She would do all kinds of lovely things for him, and he never asked for it. And so, all of a sudden, she realized the way that he treated her made all the difference in the world, and that her life was actually relatively the same. In the Bible, God gives his people as they come out of Egypt 10 commandments. In Exodus 20, we hear about the 10 commandments. You know, thou shalt not, and you will, and then I will, and yah, you know. Oh, I just lost my space. Why use a bookmarker if I just lose a space? I don't know. Okay, here we go. Exodus 20. But this is the way the Ten Commandments start. It says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. I'm the one who set you free. And now I will give you a law that will make your life good. In John 1:29, we hear John the Baptist's words as he sees Jesus, behold the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. As he sees Jesus walking by, he's like, this is the one who brings freedom. Just like God in the Old Testament. What tone of voice do you hear when you hear the Ten Commandments? Do you hear a God who says, I want you to be happy? Or do you hear, do this or else? In John 12:29, Jesus was, in 27 to 29, Jesus was talking. He says, now my soul has become troubled, and what shall I say, Father? Save me from this hour. He's nearing the time when he's going to die on the cross. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. There came therefore a voice out of heaven, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. And the multitude that were around him who stood by heard it. But some said they heard thunder, while others said it was the voice of an angel. Why do some people hear thunder and some people hear the voice of an angel? At the base of Mount Sinai, when God is just about ready to give His commandments to Moses, He speaks, and at the same that same instance, some heard thunder, and some heard a kind voice. It's not what God says; it's how we perceive Him and how He presents His law to us. In Psalm 119, David writes, I shall run the way of thy commandments, for they will enlarge my heart. In another version it says, I run in the path of your commandment, for you have set my heart free. For David, the commandments of God were something that set him free. He says, I can run free in your commandments. I can run long, I can run far. James 1:25 says that God's law is the perfect law of liberty. And Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's why I've been talking so much about falling in love with God. God, as in Ezekiel, as a husband coming for his wife. Jesus, who says, I want you in the lineage of my family. And tonight we're going to hear about a father who cares for you so close. If you don't love God, commandments seem really hard. But God says, I want the best for you. I want commandments that encourage people not to break up marriages, to hurt each other. I want to give you a future. I need 5 volunteers before we end. I have 5 volunteers. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There we go. Come on down. Now, this is your freedom right here. In our world, don't mess with me and I don't mess with you. Here's your piece of paper. This is your little bit of real estate, and in life, this is about all you're going to get. Now, I want you to get kind of in a circle. Huh? I don't know. Okay, move back a little bit. All right, stand in a circle a little bit. A little bit closer, kind of arm's length away from each other. Okay, in a circle, close up the front. All right, there we go. Okay, good. All right, I want you to stand on your piece of paper. And in our world, this is the way it works. That's your little bit. You don't mess with me, I don't mess with you. Okay? Hey, you want to mess with me? Hey, I'll take a piece of you, okay? And this is how we live. And there is a lot of freedom on this piece of paper. I mean, turn around. Oh yeah, you can turn around. Okay, you can jump up and down on it. Okay, but that's about as far as you're going to get. When God's law comes around, God says, listen, I want you to share with those who don't have anything. I want you to love people who don't love you. And when God starts sharing commandments that says, hey, this is rules that we can all get along and we can love each other and we can share with each other, and all of a sudden, you don't just heart, it's like, this is mine, no one's touching it, it's all mine. All of a sudden, everyone take a step to the right to the next person's paper. And go around again. In God's world, we share. In God's world, everyone is taken care of. And you can keep walking around and around, and it just kind of keeps flowing. In fact, in the Old Testament, there was actually, God set out, He said, this is what I want. And He talked about a year of Jubilee. We don't have time to talk about it entirely, but He said, you know, every 50 years, everyone who their land is divided up, you go back to your land. If you made a slave during that time, you go free. If you get your land back, you get everything back, everything goes back in the box, and you start over again. And not only that, if there's someone poor, you're supposed to take care of them. Jesus constantly talked about, He says, lend to them not expecting interest. But just do it because you care. And all of a sudden, you think about this, you're like, you know, no one's going to care about me. If I don't look out for myself, no one else is going to look out for me. But if you think about it, if you're the only one looking out for you, that's only one person. But if we live by God's law and I'm looking out for everybody else and they're looking out for everyone else and stay in a room like this, how many people are looking out for me? It's about 260 plus. That's how many people are looking out for you if you follow God's law. And when Jesus came, He says, I've come to start a revolution. I've come to set the captives free. because I say, turn the other cheek. And there's going to be people who are going to take more than their share from you. He says, don't worry about that. As people learn to love me, as people buy into my economy, more and more people will buy into this, and pretty soon everyone will be taking care of everyone else. And it just gets, starts small, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger until you are taken care of by so many people that you don't even know. And God says, that's my law. Keep me first because I love you. Spend time with me. Don't take life. Don't take your neighbor's husband or wife. Don't want what they have. Don't take what they have. Think about giving to them. And so much more will come back to you. This is God's economy, and He wants it for you. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank You for Your blessings, for wanting an economy, for having an economy that we are looked after so much better. Your commandments are not burdensome, but they are commandments of liberty. Help us not hear a harsh voice, but a voice of one who cares for us, so that we can cry out like David, Your commandments free me. I can run long and hard and fast, and there will always be those around me, because I love them and they love me as You love us. Please fill us with Your love as we draw close to You, I pray. Amen. Thank you, guys. Give these guys a hand.